today, actually it was this morning. This very morning, I had some other teachings that we'll get to at some time that I had been working on and studying this past couple of weeks, actually. But this morning, I don't know, the Holy Ghost did this thing again and said, here's what you're going to do today. You're going to make this a day of prayer. You're going to teach something that you know from past that I have studied that will be helpful for us in our prayer life. Of course, we know that we have to continue to pray for revival, but before revival comes, we can't stop praying for other things. There are situations that we're facing today. If you make a list of it all, it's amazing. It's beyond amazing what we're dealing with. All the issues related to coronavirus, some truths, some lies, some deceptions, some fears, some trust, some faith, political issues, strife, hatred, anger, riots, just on and on. And here's a church in the middle of it, and there are people now who say the Pledge of Allegiance, government people, senators, who take God out of it, that we are no longer one nation under God. We're just one nation, indivisible. So we see that ultimately there's always an assault on the body of Christ. It's always against God and our King, period. It'll come down to that. It's just the road that they follow to get to the one thing that they hate the most, and that is they do not want this God to reign over them. They do not want to submit to his love, his care, his truth, his righteousness. They'd rather be on their own. And that's the condition of the world today, let alone the condition of the United States. And perhaps it's worse here than any place else as far as the ongoing issues that we're facing. So here we are in the midst of all this. And the question for us is this: how do we, or do we, address everything? There are priorities, and then there are lesser priorities. There's the urgent things that urge you to do right away. You have to do that. And then the other things that are very valuable that have to be addressed. And sorting through all this is really a challenge. That's why we need to know God and what his purposes are for today. And I will get to more of that in the weeks to come. But right now, today, he wants us to pray. So how are we going to pray? What is a prayer that will address the things that are going on? Do you want to know that? Do you want to know how to pray? The scriptures reveal some interesting things. And they give us godly wisdom on how we should pray. So I want to take you to Acts chapter 4. And Peter and John were arrested at that point. The Sadducees, the priests, and others had come to them and arrested them because they were involved in healing a man. Remember? He was lame from birth. He couldn't walk. He was reaching out his hands. He said, please give me some money. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he did, and this outstanding miracle stunned so many people. And the religious people, the political people, they didn't like this because they could see the power of God present in these new believers. And they wanted to stop it. So they gathered them together and rebuked them and told them they don't want them to preach and teach in the name of Jesus Christ. And they didn't know exactly how far to go. They were testing the waters, so to speak. They didn't know how much they could get away with. They didn't know to take their heads off or just admonish them. So they were careful initially. And they just rebuked them and sent them on their way. However, in the midst of all this, Peter just preaches to them. He talks to them about Jesus Christ, which probably further infuriated them. And he said to them, in verse 20, he says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Verse 21 says, and they had further threatened them afterwards, and they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they were all glorifying God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old whom this miracle of healing had been performed. You see that? So let's bring that down to today. Right now, there are certain outbreaks in the United States due to one of our brothers. Sean, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Anybody know how to pronounce it? F-E-U-C-T. He is holding worship meetings all over the United States. Or outbreaks. You know, while the rioters are rioting, he's jumping up and down and praising God, and Christians are gathering. And And so this is a sign of things to come. There's going to be more and more of this happening. And that's going to raise the ire of people who do not want God in their business. So we are headed for increased challenge. I don't want to use the word persecution. That's pretty heavy at this point. But we are going to get a lot of blowback in the spirit realm especially. It may not always be physical with people, but you will feel it in the spirit realm. I surely do. In my daily life, I catch a lot of flack from the enemy. However, we have solutions. So here's what happens. Peter and John go back to the believers. They were let go in verse 23. And they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. I'm going to stress how important it is to be on the same page, one accord. Right now, the church is not on the same page throughout the nation. It must come to one accord about what it is to do in relationship to these trials that are going on right now in this world. How to bring God into the midst of all these issues. So, with one accord, Lord, they say, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within them. Who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things and the kings of the earth look, take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his Christ? Be assured of one thing. That is still happening today. There are wicked spirits in heavenly places that are speaking into the lives of people who do not know God yet and inflaming them to be angry with what they see, first of all, is the influence of Christianity on the conservative base. They don't like the evangelicals. They don't like the fact that we stand in the way of their agendas. They want to continue to do things in this nation and allow things in this nation that are ungodly and unrighteous. You know that to be true. So ultimately, they see us as an enemy. So they stand against the Lord and against his Christ. Verse 27, for truly against your holy servant Jesus. Now pay attention. Whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. So let's stop here and look at something. There are things that go on that God ordains and allows to take place. The resistances, the persecution, the anger, the hostility, all this stuff that can come against the body of Christ, he will allow it. He allowed Jesus to be persecuted and hung on the cross, to be murdered, so that he could rise again, so that he could be the perfect lamb, so that he could take away the sins of the world, so that he could rise in justification for us, so he could send back the Holy Spirit. So things that look simple on the surface are not so simple. They're deep and profound because we're dealing with a sovereign God who sees everything, knows everything, and has everything predetermined. Now, he does not cause sickness, nor does disease, nor war, nor famine, nor all the things that people wonder about God. He's not the cause of them, but he knows they will happen, and he works them all eventually to good. He has a purpose. So let's go back here. Verse 28 again. All the people who had been against Jesus were allowed to do whatever the hand of God purposed and determined beforehand. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Let me stop again. Much of the prayer that we see going up today, when things are bad, challenging to us, out of order, break our hearts, people doing things, saying things, trying to perpetrate things that we are totally against. Normally what we do is, God, stop them. Pray against that. Stop them from doing that. Show your hand against them. Put them out of the way. Give us the freedom. Isn't that true that we do that? We pray that way. Look at this prayer. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. It's a difference between playing defense and offense. Instead of praying, oh God, stop them from being such bad people, doing such wrong things. We don't like it, and I know it's not pleasing to you. We want to live free. We want to live a peaceful life. We don't care for this. Look at the destruction. Look at this. Look at that. These people, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, said, here's what we're asking, God. Show the power of Christ in us. Come, do you realize that the solution is the presence of God in his people? Forgive me for being exhortive, but believe me, if we don't rise up in the power of God, the enemy will continue to do what he does. There will be no salvations, no witness of God, no healings, no miracles, no signs, no wonders that will bring men and women to their knees and convict them of sin. That they will say, of a surety, we know that God is with you. Are you hearing this? We can't back away from a good fight. God's ordained it. He's allowed these circumstances. We can't run and hide. Our responsibility is not put our heads in the sand like an ostrich. We can't make things go away. We can't pretend they'll go away. We can't hope they'll go away. They're here to stay, and the only thing that we can do is address them with the will and the knowledge of God, with his purposes. Right? Yes. And then to pray for him to empower the church. Glory to God. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I would like to see great grace upon all of you. I would like to see what God wants us to see. The power of God in his beloved people. People who are willing to continue to share with a lost world the reality that only Jesus saves. Only Jesus brings peace. Only God of comfort can give them the hope that they need. That eternity waits for them regardless of what they think. And there is a decision they have to make today because it's too late after they die. And that there's a God who loves them and will heal them. And here's where we have to go. We have got to ask for the power of God for the purposes of God. We've got to cry out today, even, that God will empower the church. I don't care who he uses. He can use me. He can use you. I hope he uses everybody. Yeah, that's the way it should be. The apostles were essential. I'll give you an illustration of this. This prayer lasted. Now, when Paul and Barnabas were sent, we'll go over to Acts 13. I don't want you to be afraid of the enemy or of the conditions of the world, nor do I want you to be paralyzed, not knowing what to do, complaining about this, that, and the other, because we tend to do that. We see the televisions and the internet and all the media and the information we get, and we get angry and we shout at this and holler at that and wish things were different, but that's not going to change anything. That is not going to change anything. It hasn't changed it in the past. It won't change it in the future. We can demonstrate, and I'm not against demonstrations, but I am for the power of God. I am for what will bring his presence into us that will be revealed into the world. When Paul and Barnabas were separated by the Holy Spirit, and he said to them in Acts 13, separate unto me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work which I have called them to. There was a work that he had beforehand ordained for them to do. Even you have been ordained to do things. All of us, don't miss your opportunities. Come on. None of you should miss out on anything God has ordained for you to do. All the works that he has planned that you should walk in, the people you should encounter, the healings you should deliver, the message of Christ you should offer. Don't miss your opportunities. He doesn't leave out anybody. This is a wake-up call from God. Not only does the body of Christ need the power of God, but the world is desperate for it. It's fallen apart. I want you to get hungry for God and for His power and His presence in your life. To say to Him right now, today, I am available to you for anything, anytime, anywhere, anyhow, with anyone. Don't go out here and eat sandwiches and laugh, but go out here thinking, where does God want to send me today? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Not just today, tomorrow and every day. Who am I to encounter? God, fill me with your presence, your love, your power. Use me to your glory. And if you don't use me, use somebody else. But use us. Use us. Use us, O God, for your glory and for a lost people in this world. And let Jesus' name be lifted up. So Paul and Barnabas were separated by the Holy Spirit, and the prophets and teachers that were there laid hands on them, prayed over them, and sent them out. I'm sure that they prayed over them that they would have the power of the Holy Spirit when they went. Why else would they pray? And so they went out. And let's see if I can find a scripture. I think it begins in, here it is. Verse 4, Acts 13, verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jew. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, or to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul. Now, this is a government official of the whole island. Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Here's what we're facing spiritually. This is a good picture for us to see. This is happening in the spiritual realm. There are people right now that God is going to go to. He's going to send somebody to them to hear the word of God to save their souls, and the enemy is going to resist them. I want you to know that this happens at all times. I was resisted to hear God by spirits that came to me constantly before I got saved to tell me it's hogwash. Don't bother with that Christianity. It's failed. Where did I get all these ideas? The enemy planted them in my mind to keep me from God. So he was a sorcerer. Elamus, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. So what he tried to do, he was a false prophet. He was trying to discredit the apostles and to deny the word of God to this man, to make it seem as nothing. No doubt he'd had a few words with the proconsul not to pay attention to Paul and Barnabas. Are you with me here? This is happening right now. There are some people that I'm praying for. As I've told you in the past, I target, as God shows me, certain bad people. We'll call them that. They're lost people. That's why they're bad. You know? They don't know any different. Who are angry, who hate the Lord, and etc. And so I pray for them. I pray not because they do things or propose things that are against my faith, but because they need salvation. And because when they get saved, what a difference it's going to make. Isn't that right? So under the power of the Holy Spirit, this is what happened. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil." Come on, when was the last time you heard anybody say that to another person? "You son of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed. Signs and wonders are going to bring people to belief. But signs and wonders don't just happen. They happen because there's a people of God who intercede and call on God and say, "Please, God, empower us for your glory and for the salvation of the lost." I haven't seen much of this activity in a long time. But it's going to come again. It's going to come in revival, but I can't wait. I don't know if you want to wait. I don't want to wait until some uncertain and unknown date when God is going to pour his spirit all over. Between now and then, we can't sit on our haunches, sit back, let things happen, let the enemy take over. Not if we care, not if we care for God's people, not if we care for God's agenda, his purposes in us, and not if we care for the lost. So how do we pray today? In light of these things, how will we pray today? God, first of all, I want to ask you to forgive me for wanting to remove every obstacle that I'm disagreeable towards, every person that acts out ugly, all the people I don't like, all the things that are going on. I want to know your will and how to intercede and how to intervene in these situations. What if a rioter looting and burning in the streets of Portland, about ready to throw a brick through a window or light a fire or torch a police car, had somebody confront him or her and say, I know something about you that God showed me, how you were abandoned as a child, perhaps as a word of knowledge. You hear what I'm saying to you? Or I know that you've been dealing with a physical ailment in your body for 12 years. And all of a sudden, halt that individual, that God is speaking into that person's life. What will happen then when that type of thing starts to happen? Am I imagining things? Am I out of bounds with these thoughts? Or is it possible that that's what God wants us to know, to expect, to believe for? Answer me, will you? Would you like to be the person that does that? Do you want your life to slowly just eke away without having these chances with God? Are you satisfied where you're at? Are you content to let somebody else do it? Or are you fed up with not being involved the way God wants you to be? Are you fed up with not praying right? Just being angry at things that make you angry instead of full of the power of God? Will you think about this tomorrow after 24 hours have gone by and be passionate again for the Lord? Will you beg God to pour his spirit on you in such a way? There's a difference for the present filling of the Holy Spirit and a supernatural anointing that God wants to give us to keep us charged and ministering. Will you begin to cry out to God for that? He'll take care of your lives, your businesses, your homes, your problems. That's why Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. Do first things first. What about the people you're working with? Your friends that you yield to because you don't want to lose them. Friends, they're lost. Already lost in a different way. If you love them, do what is right. Ask God. Pray for them. See if he won't give you something to say to them or minister healing to them. Their possibilities are endless. Are they not? Endless. But it all begins with one thing, praying right. When we pray right, God's power comes. If we pray wrong, he just sits back and says, I know you're upset with all the things that are going on that you don't like. I'm not going to remove these people. I'm not going to stop them. I'm not going to come down and say, stop doing that. I'm going to let them do these things. Just like you saw how they took away Jesus, how they persecuted the early church, and the church knew what to do. It said, we need your power to demonstrate your presence to a lost world. You think those 3,000 people that showed up on the day of Pentecost and gave their lives to Jesus didn't recognize that there was a supernatural presence? They saw them speaking in tongues, the fire of God all over them. They saw miracles. They were not saved people. We need to pray. We need to ask God for his power in our lives. We need to ask God to make us clean and pure and righteous, and that our minds, our thought processes are holy. Our intentions are right. Our motives are honorable. Our love is pure and hatred is out of us. We cannot love the world if we hate it. We cannot see God move through us if we're full of hate and contention and unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness. Even though those things may come to us and challenge us, maybe our emotions will feel them and experience them. They have to be put off. We have to have the will of God, the heart of God, the heart of God, the heart of God. You must ask for God's heart in these things. It isn't just pure power. It's power in the love of God. Amen? That's what we need. I know there's just a few of us here today. I don't care. God can use many or few. He can start with you. You have to ask him to use you. Surrender yourself. Stop thinking of yourself as too little, too small, too uneducated, too inexperienced, too old, too young, too new, too whatever. That's all self-centered stuff. Like we said last week, get rid of yourself. Open yourself up to the present life of Christ in you. For me to live is Christ, is what Paul said. Christ is our life. His presence in us, dwelling in us, living through us. He is so hungry to work through us. He wants to demonstrate his life through us. So we must be in agreement with that. First and foremost, God. God, 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 we come to you this morning. We ask you, God, to change our hearts and our attitudes. We all have complained and murmured and been upset and shouted things and called names and wished things were different. And yet you have called us to be the different maker, the difference makers in this world. Many of us have gotten passive and indifferent and careless, and we don't even want to be bothered with it. We're so upset. Some of us putting our trust and our hopes in how elections turn out, as we have said repeatedly, it will not change the hearts of people. So we recognize this, God. We're not in this for our comfort. We're in this for your glory. We're not here to find an easy way. We're here to find your way. We want that more than anything else. Forgive us for our complacency. We must be clean. Show us, O God, anything in us that you want to remove from our lives and make sure our hearts are clean with you. And we beseech you, God, pour your Spirit upon us. Give us power in the Spirit, but give us love in the Spirit that we might accomplish the things you want. Lord, we pray not just for ourselves. We pray for the whole church, that it begin to be flooded with your presence and your love and your power, that people all over this nation, yea, even the world, will begin to see the glory of our God in his people. And through them, that they will know your love, your healing, your miraculous supernatural power, your presence. Do not let us wander away from this. It's so easy to settle down and go back to the way we have lived, the way things are. To go back to our routines, our comforts. Burden us, oh God. Burden us with your Spirit. Would you do that, God? Make it impossible for us not to want to do your will. Make it hard for us, even though we will give our wills to you. Please work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We beseech you to do that, O God. And we will see great things happen beyond our wildest imaginations. God can do, as it says in the bulletin, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is in us through Christ Jesus right here in this church. By Christ Jesus in his church. By Christ Jesus. That is the power. The person is the power by his Spirit in us. Thank you, Lord God. We think of ourselves as weak in our flesh, and we are. But we're powerful in the Spirit because the Great One lives in us. Show us these truths. Awaken us to this, O God. Waken us up. It doesn't matter how young in the Lord we are. The youngest of us, the newest of us, can be used by you. You love to display your glory through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We humble ourselves before you, God, because you resist the proud. But you pour out grace to the humble. You do that, O God. As Jesus was a meek and lowly servant, humble and mild in his heart, make us that way, God, so that we can handle your power with glory and not with pride for ourselves. Let us look on people as you see them, even though we see them in the natural, in the flesh, and they sometimes are so contemptible, so mean-spirited, so full of hate. But that is what Satan has done. And so we wish to, as Jesus did, go about healing all who are sick and oppressed of the devil, destroying his works. God, help us to be that kind of people again. I know full well what Genesis 3 says, that God said to Satan, you might nip at the heel of the seed of the woman, but he's going to crush your head. And so the victory is ours. The enemy wants to nip our heels, but we crush his head through the power of God, through the work that Jesus has already accomplished. That evil serpent who works to cause people to remain in darkness. Oh God, today we ask these things. Fall upon us with these truths. Give us even more than I'm caring to share right now. I am weak before you, Lord, and lost for words unless you give me more. Lord, empower your people. Let the prayer that you have in them rise up so that they now, even right now, those among us will be anointed to pray their prayers before you, loud, clear, strong, faithful, according to your will. Let the prayers rise up before you like beautiful incense before your throne. Let you be glad with them. Let them be like sweet smell in your nostrils, giving you pleasure, O God. Praying your will be done here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I open this up to prayer to anybody who desires to pray. Come forward.
This is sort of a prophetic thing, but it's a we will pray after. A couple weeks ago, Marty had a tongue. And I hope you guys remember it because it was very stirring. I actually saw the atmosphere being stirred. And Pastor spoke one word today about in Acts when Paul said they asked for boldness and the place was shaken. That word shaken, I used to think it was a physical, that the building actually shook, and maybe it did. But it's also a condition in the spirit realm where the atmosphere is being stirred, because that word shaken in the Acts version means to be agitated, to be stirred, but it also means to incite. So God is inciting us. He's inciting us to be bold. And then that week I had a dream, and in the dream I was on the streets and it was all cloudy, but there was steel framework on the streets, and they were about as big around as my arm. But we were reaching for them, and that steel framework was rusty, and God was showing me that they were missed opportunities, things to reach for that we didn't reach for because they had been there for so long that they had rusted. And we know that, you know, God's word is the one that brings, he speaks the word so they can be healed, but we have to be the vehicle, and his word framed the world, and that framework was the stuff he wants to do. And that word frame means to bring to completion. So we are the ones, the atmosphere is stirred now. It's stirred absolutely right now. We don't have to see those beams shake because the atmosphere is shaking. And when the atmosphere shook for Isaiah, when he was in the throne room, two things happened. He was brought to holiness, but he was brought to service. He was, because when the seraphim were saying, holy, 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 the doorposts shook. And so that's the stirring, that's the shaking. And in that scripture, it means to come up higher. So the Holy Spirit is calling us to come up higher in these things. So I just believe, but the first thing that we need to do is, Father, we just come before you and we repent for not taking those missed opportunities, Lord. And we choose right now to become more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so we can see those doorways, those openings, those gates, those portals that we need to go through, Lord God, to come up higher, Lord, and to bring other people up higher, to mature as a body of Christ, Lord God, to be listening to your Holy Spirit, to see what you want to do, and to come forth in boldness. So, Father God, we repent for letting those lost opportunities go by. And we say, Lord, we want to be a bold people. And we are not going to stand in judgment of the world, but we are going to choose to love them so that they can be turned, just like the one that Pastor taught on today. And many of those people who turn will become go from Saul to Paul, and they will become leaders in the body of Christ. Because the reason they're a leader now in the wrong kingdom is because they have those gifts. And so, Father God, we choose to love those people, and we choose to see them, and we choose to see words of love for them, Lord God, words that you are already speaking over them. And we will take those words to them, Lord God, and we will see your kingdom advance upon this earth. In Jesus' name.
Pretty much what Greg told us today, the Holy Spirit showed me as I was in prayer this morning. I don't want to share that. I want to just go into prayer. But everything that you said, Greg, the Lord showed in my life that that's what was happening. So this is my prayer. Father, we come before you against the principalities and the powers in high places. Father, we are not fighting against flesh and blood amongst those people that are rioting and destroying. That's their flesh. Unfortunately, their spirits are dead. Father, I ask that you would change their spirits by the Holy Spirit, that their spirits can be redeemed. And once their spirits are redeemed, Father God, their flesh will do the things of a redeemed person. So against the powers and the principalities, we come against them. Father, not only do you need us, but we need you to come forth before us as we go and do what you want us to do. Father, I pray for courage. I pray for righteousness. Because, Father, without righteousness that is in us because of Christ, Christ's righteousness that is in us, Father, we will go in vain. And we don't want to do that, Father God. So, Father God, we plead to you, Lord God, that you would destroy these powers so that we can get in. And we know we have to go into warfare. And we are here, Father God, saying that we are ready and we are more than able because you live in us. And the scriptures are true. Greater is you, Lord, that is in every single one of us than every single one that is rioting and destroying. Father, let us not be afraid of what we see in the worldly atmosphere, but Father, let us see what's happening in the spirit realm, because that's where our fight is, and that's what has to be destroyed. And Father, we want to join with the angelic hosts that are already fighting, but the Holy Spirit wants humanity to be engaged. And Father, let us do all of this warfare in love. But Father, let the fight begin.
I just want to speak against the spirit of slothfulness that may have crept into anyone's lives, including my own. So in the name of Jesus, I loose the spirit of slothfulness on anyone who's dealing with it. And anyone who doesn't know what that means, it means laziness. We're in a culture that promotes and enjoys, including myself, the easiness of life, the two-hour shipping to your doorstep. And the things of Christ are not necessarily easy, like two-day shipping, one-day shipping, Father God. So I just speak against any spirits of slothfulness or laziness that may have crept in, Father God. And it says in Jeremiah, the fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand this. That's Jeremiah 30, 24. So, Father God, I pray not for the things, not against the things I see in the natural, Father God, but I pray for the things that you are planning, Father God. Because it may get worse before it gets better, Father God. So I don't want, and there is a benefit to that because it's according to your plans, Father God. So I don't want to just pray against the things and resist the things that I'm seeing in the natural, Father God, but I pray for the things that you are planning, that we may be a part of that plan, Father God, that you will use us, Father God, for one thing that your scripture says, and I know Josh says this all the time, but the harvest is plentiful, Father God. The harvest isn't just plentiful now. It was plentiful 3,000 years ago. It is just as plentiful now as it was 3,000 years ago, Father God. So the harvest is there. Send out the workers, Father God. Allow us to be a worker. We volunteer to be a worker, Father God. And we won't necessarily worry about what's going on, but we set our sights on things above to be a part of the plans that you have planned, Father God. Even if it may look like your anger is coming at us, Father God, that will accomplish your plan, Father, for it is beautiful and your works are awesome. In Jesus' name.
Father, I come before you personally and corporately. I want to repent for complacency, God, for selfishness, for focusing more on our comfort than the lives and souls of those around us who are perishing daily. Father, I pray that you forgive us for our self-centered selfishness. It is filthy, and it's riddling our lives with complacency and slothfulness, like Josh prayed. God, cleanse us now. Cleanse us and forgive us so we can be useful for you, God, so our eyes can be taken off ourselves and so that we can look to the lost and have a heart for them. God, give us your heart. Give us your heart for the lost. We can't be useful. We can't make impacts on people's lives if we don't love them. We were there. Remind us, God. Humble us. Humble us. Humble us. Humble us before the world. Make us meek before the world, not cowardly, but meek and humble, that we may learn to serve others and put ourselves aside. And we don't think about the comforts of this world and what we're going to eat and where we're going on vacation next and our comfy homes and crap like that, God. But make our eyes focus on your kingdom's cause. This life is fleeting. It's a blink and then gone. Let us not waste our lives focusing on silliness, things of no eternal value. God, change our mindset, change our vision to be like yours, to have eternal value, that we see people as lost and we see people perishing into hell daily, and we were one of them. Shame on us for not sharing the gospel daily and pouring out of us the truth that was shown to us that the world needs to hear. God, start with me. This is not a correction for everyone else but me, but start with me. I am first and foremost guilty of these things, God. I don't want to stay where I am. I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want the enemy to take one more soul of my friends, of my family. I don't want deception in the church anymore. God, come and come and come mightily with your spirit. Come and pour out your spirit in each and every one of us so that we can all be used. Not one of us, all of us. Use your whole church, God. We are all able. You gave us the same spirit. You know, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that goes the same for the Holy Spirit. The same things the Holy Spirit did in the book of Acts, he'll do today if we just let him. So work in us, God. Work in us and shut ourselves up to ourselves. Let us be humble before you and say, do what you want, not what I want, God. Your will be done. In this church, start with me, Lord. Start with me. I thank you for your conviction, and I thank you that you're a good father who chastens his children, who doesn't look at us and say, oh, I'll let you go and you'll figure it out. You chase us down, and you say, get back on that path with me. I have better things for you. Chase us, God. Chase every single individual down here, God, and get us back with you on track, Lord. I pray these things in your precious son's name, Jesus.
Yes. Yes. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. God, Lord.
God, bend me.
Oh, God.
Bend me.
Oh, God.
Bend me.
Oh, God.
Bend me. Bend me.
Father, I ask you to forgive us for the selfishness in our lives, Lord. I remember when I was young, 18, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the same year, I got healed of very bad back pain. And it changed my life. I'd never experienced anything like that before. I didn't even intend to say this, but I never experienced anything like that where God actually intervened into me personally and touched me physically and in other ways. And it just did something in me where it just set me ablaze. It was like an interactive thing where the God I'd sung to and known my whole life now did something to me, which I never had even experienced or never knew that could be done. And it just changed my life when I was 18. And I remember those days how I had no fear. I had no fear. I knew that when I went forward for healing, he was going to heal me. And I told my friend, he's going to heal me. And he did. And I don't have that faith anymore. I have the fear now that it won't happen. But things are pastors talking about. I had absolute faith that night that God would do it, and he did. But I knew he would. Before I went forward, I knew he would do that for me. And he did. And people mocked me and said, oh, well, it won't last. Well, it lasted, and I've never had it again. But I don't have that now. I don't have that faith. I don't have that, the zeal. I was reading it. David said, the zeal has consumed me. I don't have that anymore. And I want that back. Yeah. I was fresh. I was young. I was seeking. And God met me and changed me. But I've become passive and filled with the things of life. And okay, yes, we have life, but he must be everything. And there are people who are dying for their faith, who know they will die for their faith. And they don't care that they will die for their faith because they want Jesus. And that's happening today. Children and other people. And forgive me, but look at us. We need to have his zeal. And of course, I speak to myself because I had that at one point. But I got consumed with life and things and people and relationships and family. And those things, yes, those things happen. But we must have that zeal for him. And only he can do that in us. So we appeal to you, Holy Spirit, to set us on fire. Yes. There are people in the world who are on fire for you. Muslims, like Pastor said, who have dreams of you and get saved. We need to have that fire. I need that in me again, that you would reignite that in my life. That I would not be passive and dull. Just existing. Because for me personally, life's been really hard. But you know what? It must be about Jesus. He must be everything. Yes. He must consume my life and my heart. Yes. Yes. So my drive is him and what he wants to do through me, through all of us. Forgive me. I'm just...
Come on, girl.
But we must have that zeal. I mean, the Old Testament people, the way they lived, the way that David lived, the things that Moses did, he just believed God. He opened up the sea. He put his hand out and he opened up the sea because they believed him. I don't have that. I'm looking for little things. You know, God wants us to have that passion. He wants us to have that absolute faith that he will do these things. And he's met me in small ways, and they're amazing to me. They're big to me, but they're little things. It must be much bigger than that. It must be much bigger than that. We must, and our eyes must be off ourselves. We're so consumed with ourselves. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to say it. We all need to be changed. Because I know it's in me, and I can't do anything about it except run to God and say to me, this is terrible. We are the hope of the world. And we're not doing it. And when I say we, I'm speaking to myself. But we're not doing these things. And God must change us. Because someone tomorrow may die that does not know Christ. It says today is the day of salvation. So, Father, my prayer is for myself first, that you'd forgive me, but that you'd change me from being selfish, self-centered, lazy, apathetic, existing, as I said, because it's been very hard. I want to rise way above that, Father. I want to have that passion that I had when I was 18, when I knew you could do anything. But then life got in the way and robbed that from me. And I need that back. I want that back. I want to live as Stephen lived, where he didn't care that he would die for his faith. He just proclaimed who you were as they stoned him. We need that, Father. We need the faith of the early church. Would you give that to us, Father, in this church, how the early church lived? how they had all things in common. We need agreement. Without agreement, we have nothing. We have to have agreement. We have to have what that means, unity. On the one page, I was saying to Rita earlier, I would love to get us into a massive stadium somewhere in Connecticut and say, can we all agree to pray for our nation? Not what we want, but to save this nation. But we need our churches to look past what they want and pray for what's happening in our church. But it begins with us first. Father, give us back and give us the zeal that we need to have to do your will. Because the second line of the Lord's Prayer is, your will be done. And way after that comes our needs. But first it's, we hallow you. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then later on, he talks about our needs and forgiveness and so on. But we must put him first, and it must be, what do you want from me, Father? What do you want from me? And take away the fear, because I have it too, Lord. What'll I say? What'll I say if I can't answer something? All these things. Please, please help us, Holy Spirit. Please change us. I'm asking you today, please change us. I'm asking you today to please give us the passion that the disciples had. We don't want to be lukewarm. We must either be hot or cold. And I want to be hot. I want to have a raging fire burning within me to reach people and to proclaim who you are. Because like someone said, eternity is just a blink. And then it's gone. I don't want to stand before you with regrets, Father. I want to stand before you and hear, well done. So please change us and help us, Holy Spirit. We can go nowhere and do nothing without you. But we can do everything with you. And we run to you on bended knee and say, please forgive us and change us and give us back a passion and a zeal to do your will. A passion and a zeal to fulfill what you ask of us. Like Isaiah said, I'll go. He said, I'll go. And I'm afraid to say that right now, Father, because I don't know what to do. And yet I did this as a kid. So I'm asking you to change my life. To change our lives. And I'm also asking you to keep these burdens on our hearts. That we don't just walk out and forget this, God. Because this nation needs help, Father. Very much it needs help, God. And I thank you that we can come to you, Holy Spirit, and ask you these things because you're faithful. And that you would rescue us from our complacency and just the way we live and put a real fire and zeal inside of us. Your desire, your passion to reach the lost, your passion to change lives. I ask you in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus, the same Father, the same Spirit that healed you in the past is the same God and the same Spirit that will heal you now. So body be whole in the name of Jesus. Pain leave now in the name of Jesus. Body be whole in the name of Jesus. Through signs and wonders, people may believe that your zeal may be restored even now as you experience complete healing in your body. Pain go now in Jesus' name. Pain go now in Jesus' name. Pain go now in Jesus' name and never return. Body be whole in Jesus' name. Go in peace.
Hallelujah. Praises to your holy name. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. That was a good word. There's a few things that the Lord was showing me, and it's going to all pretty much tie in. I was listening to President Trump as he, accepted the nomination. And one of the things he said I picked up on, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing, I can't remember the exact wordings, but he said, it's not a party that's going to change this nation. It's God. However, God can change it, but he's not going to wave a magic wand because God's imparted a little bit of everything in each one of us, and we have that power and the authority, and it's up to his children for God to move. He's going to move through us. And even as Pastor taught last week and the week before, I've been praying differently. I've been praying, Lord, bend me, because the Bible has to start in me. so I can touch the world. And it has to start in each and every one of us. And then as Sonia started praying, and as it brought her to tears, and I hear the tears of everybody else, I says, Lord, you know, sometimes I just feel so disattached from you. That what the Lord said, he says, I'm in tears too, just as Sonia, because my people are disattached from me. So, Father, my prayer is that you say you are the vine and we are the branches. But if we are not attached, we have no life. So, Father, that we all may reach out and attach to you, Father, and get your life. Get your life, Lord. We need to come alive, Lord Jesus. We need to become attached so that we have that lifeblood and the flow in each and every one of us, Lord. There's many here that already have it, Lord, but we want to increase that. But there's many of us, Lord, too, that are disattached. As Sonia was crying out to you and in tears, she has your heart, Lord. We each need that heart so that we can cry out and we can see that the people that are dying in this nation, not both physically and spiritually, Lord, they are lost. We have a nation and we have a world that is lost, Lord. And we cry out, Lord, that we become attached to you so that we have your heart, that we could move and have those opportunities, that you're going to present us with those opportunities, Lord, so that we could move as you. You've placed each and every gift that we need, Father, to change this world. So we ask that and we repent of that, Lord, that we have become disattached. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Father, I come before you today. And Father, I repent. I repent of being lazy. I repent of misusing my time. I repent of watching TV instead of being in your word. Father, cleanse me. Father, I want to change. I don't want to go on the way I've been going. Father, I want you to restore what I had with you from the beginning, oh God. And not just that, but to restore more, oh Lord. Father, oh Lord, I repent before you and before this congregation today, oh Lord. And I ask for your forgiveness, oh God. I don't want to miss my opportunity, oh God, because I'm desperate for change. I am desperate for change, oh Lord. And Father, I pray that I will continue, Lord, with your spirit, oh Lord, to move upon this congregation, oh God, and upon your world, oh Lord, by your spirit, Lord, to melt the hardness of hearts, oh God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, and when I get out of here, I don't want to go back to the same thing I was doing, oh God. But Lord, I want it to be new. I want it to be change, oh God. So Father, not only here, but stay with me, oh God, as I walk through those doors, oh Lord. I don't want to come back the same. I want to be change. This day, in Jesus' name.
I come before you, oh God, and before your people this morning and say this. I want to lay down all the gifts you have given me, all the positions, the opportunities, the graces you have endowed me with, the apostolic ministry, the teaching, the prophetic, the gifts of healings, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning of spirits, miracles that I've done, all the things that you have allowed me to do, all the graces you have given me, the position that I've walked in. It is nothing. It is nothing without you. These things cannot be, as my brother Ben played, detached from you. They are you in me working them, oh God. And so if there be any pride in me or others that we are something because of what we are gifted to do, oh God, forgive us. Oh God, forgive us. That is not what we are or even who we are. That's what we can do because of who you are and what you are in us. So let us not lead with these things, oh God, but let us lead with the person of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And to him be the glory now and forever, in the church. Amen and amen.
I'm going to do a godly me too. Father, I repent. I've had much knowledge of your word, but I don't really know you. I want to know you like you know me. I repent, Father, for boldness. The boldness I've had was because of pride, because I know what your word says. But without the Holy Spirit moving, it's no good. It's just me applying, telling you what to do. Here, I repent right now in the name of Jesus. You gave me an acronym this morning. You said, help, holy, eternal, loving, paraclete. I cry out for you and for this congregation. Father, I want souls. I don't care about my life. I want souls. Jesus came for souls. And I'm crying out to you, God, prepare me. Prepare this heart. I want your heart. It's for souls. I don't want peace in this nation if it costs souls. I don't want a quiet, godly life if it means one soul is lost. Father God, I ask you to forgive me for the pride of my heart, for having knowledge, because knowledge puffs up. But Father, I ask for humbleness right now and a strength. I pray for that boldness and strength that those early Christians prayed in Acts 4. I pray, Father God, right now that you will give us strength and courage in you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord.
I don't want to miss the opportunity, so I came up here, and in case I would miss it if I didn't come up here. But so many times, God has given me so many opportunities to speak, and I'm very grateful for those opportunities. But so many times I've missed it, then I have to come home and get on the phone and say, you know what, I missed it again. I get so grieved. And I've spent my life being grieved over missing it. It doesn't do any good that God gave me the opportunities if I'm not going to speak what he wants me to speak. So I don't want to end my life in regrets. And so I'm asking God that the next time he gives me an opportunity, that I will not be silent, that I will press through the flesh, and then I will put my mind on him and call on him to say, God, what do you want me to say? And then I will say it. So that's what I'm asking this morning, that the next time I have that opportunity, I will not miss it, because then I just spend my life thinking about how I missed this and I missed that and what could have been and this would have been. God doesn't want us to live that way anymore. Because, like I shared once, when we miss it, then we shrink back inside, and it's harder the next time. But if we're bold, then we will rise up and have that good feeling about the presence of the Lord being in us. So I just want to say this morning that, God, please let me be bolder, and the next time, let me not miss it. So I don't have to be calling on the phone saying, guess what, I missed it again. Thank you, God.
Many, many times, I know me personally, and I'm sure many others, have been to a service where there's a great move like this or an experience like this, and then we leave here, and it's status quo again. And next week, we're back to whatever our business is. So God, may it not be so today. So where do we go from here then? What do we do next? I want to encourage with a verse, 1 John 2 and verse 6. He says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. A common theme here, we want to walk as Jesus walked. We want to be like Jesus. And to do that, we must abide in him. So that's where we go from here. When we leave here today, abide in him. Tomorrow morning when we wake up, abide in him. when Wednesday hits the middle of the week, abide in him. And next week when we come back here next Sunday, we abide in him together again. And it's one step at a time. So, Lord, we thank you for what has gone on here today. And Lord, may we abide in you as we leave here. May we wake up tomorrow morning and abide in you. Lord, we know you are faithful. May we be faithful to you. We pray this through your son, Jesus.
I just want you to be encouraged. The Lord has showed me what he's doing today, and he is doing a great defragmentation of your life. I don't know if you know what, when you defrag a computer, if you know what that is, you notice it's running slow, there's problems, you have to defrag it. Until you notice that and make an action to do that, it won't take place. Spiritually today, we've seen that we are slow, we are slothful, we are lazy, we are selfish, we are all of these things, and we're asking God to help us. And he is saying that I am going to begin a defragmentation of your life. Not only am I going to do this on an individual level, I'm going to do this on a body level. I'm going to do this on a worldwide body level, because I never do things just one way. I am complete, and he is thorough in all that he does. He is going to begin to defrag your time, your usage of time. He's going to defrag your thought processes. He's going to defrag all these things. Things are out of place and cluttered and don't allow you to hear him quickly. Don't allow you to see him quickly. Don't allow you to think on him quickly. He's going to defrag all the distractions in your life, in your mind, and in your heart. He is doing that now. So be encouraged that that is what is happening now. Amen.
I think that's a good summary. And we can conclude with that. And Josh, thanks for giving us that final word that we must abide. Now, as we leave tonight, tomorrow, throughout the week, thank you, Holy Spirit, for continuing to work on us in this respect. We give you praise and honor and glory now. Praise him now for what he did today. For all this was by his love, by his Spirit. Praise his holy name. Lift up your hearts to him. Thank him. You will never be the same. This is a great change day for you. Amen. God bless.